Welcome to the weekly podcast from Gorebridge Parish Church. For more teaching or to find out more about life at Gorebridge Parish Church, please visit our website, gorepc.com.
This week, we're going to be looking at one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and it's from 1 Kings, chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. And I'll read it out. I'm reading the New Living Translation, so if you've got that with you, then you can read along. Solomon made an alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and married one of his daughters. He brought her to live in the city of David until he could finish building his palace and the temple of the Lord and the wall around the city. At that time, the people of Israel sacrificed their offerings at local places of worship, for a temple honoring the name of the Lord had not yet been built. Solomon loved the Lord and followed all the decrees of his father David, except that Solomon too offered sacrifices and burned incense at the local places of worship. The most important of these places was at Gibeon. So the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream, and God said, "What do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you." Solomon replied, "You showed faithful love to your servant, my father David, because he was honest and true and faithful to you. And you've continued your faithful love to him today by giving him a son to sit on his throne. Now, O Lord my God, you have made me a king instead of my father David, but I am like a little child who doesn't know his way around. And here I am in the midst of your own chosen people, a nation so great and numerous that they cannot be counted. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, "Because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice and have not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame. No other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. And if you follow me and obey my decrees and my commands, as your father David did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon woke up and realized that it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, where he sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. Then he invited all his officials to a great banquet. One of the things that I've loved about the English language is that we can have words that sound the same but mean different things. And you can write something down and you can read it and it can look the same, but in a different context, it can mean something completely different. So for instance, we've probably all been asked the question, probably asked it ourselves, around about birthdays and Christmas time. What would you like? Sometimes we might have a great idea of what it is that we would like. We might have been pondering this for an entire year, just waiting for someone to say, "What would you like?" So we tell them. But sometimes we might not necessarily have something in mind. So we provide a very non-committal answer, something like, just surprise me. But you see, I learned very quickly in my family that if you're asked the question, "What would you like?" then you better have an answer, unless you want your surprise to be an abundance of socks and underwear. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want to be seen as ungrateful, because everybody does need underwear and socks. However, I would probably have preferred a guitar or some book tokens. But there's another way of the question being asked, and it's slightly differently worded. And it's usually in the heat of an argument, where you've maybe not lived up to the expectations of another person, but you don't think that they properly articulated exactly what their expectations were. So in the heat of the argument, you might throw your hands in the air and say, "What do you want from me?" You're asking the question, but it's a rhetorical one. You're not looking for an answer. You're trying to make a point. But there's a third question, and again, it's worded slightly differently. And that is, what do you want from me? What can I do for you? And when you say, what can I do for you, what you're actually saying is, if I have the capacity and the ability, I will help you. What do you need? What can I do for you? And it's in that vein that God offers the question to Solomon this morning. What can I do for you? What do you need? And you see, Solomon's answer surprises us because he could have had absolutely anything. This is God that's asking the question. A God who created the universe and everything in it. A God who performs miracles, parts seas. As we read, has a chosen people and he can take them into a promised land. So Solomon could have had anything. But he doesn't ask for a long and healthy life. He doesn't ask for great riches. He doesn't even ask for God to take away his enemies, of which there would be many. He doesn't choose personal gain. He chooses wisdom. You see, God's pleased with Solomon's request because it's not a selfish one. And we read that God grants him the wisdom that he seeks, and he also gives him great riches and a long life. But you see, this wisdom isn't the kind of wisdom that gets you letters after your name or a nice shiny certificate for your wall. It's not just about being clever. It's not just about being intelligent. Although Solomon was a very clever and intelligent man, we can read Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, all these books in the Bible that are attributed to Solomon. He's a very clever man. But what he's asking for is the wisdom to be able to rule justly, to be able to guide God's people properly. He wants to be able to discern between good and evil. And for me, what Solomon's actually asking for is to be in tune with God. You see, Solomon has discerned that the task before him is a massive one. He openly admits to God that he's young, he's just a young man, inexperienced. And he recognizes that he needs to have that same relationship that his father, King David, had with God. Discernment. I read in one commentary that it's called like having a listening heart. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. What does a listening heart actually look like? Well, Robert W. Heron, he suggests that good listening is like tuning in a radio station. That for good results, you can only really listen to one station at a time. And he suggests that trying to listen to his wife while reading over a report, it's like trying to receive two radio stations at once. You end up with distortion and frustration. See, because listening requires us to divert our attention purely on that thing that we're trying to listen to. He suggests that for him to be able to listen to his wife properly, he must set aside all the things that would be a distraction. And you see, for me, this is a perfect illustration of what having a listening heart looks like. We've got to put away anything that will distract us from hearing from God. Now, for each of us, it will look different. Some, it might be to turn the football off more often. Maybe put the book away. Maybe put your phone away. Social media can wait. Only we know what these things are. But these things within themselves aren't bad things. It's just that to have a listening heart, it requires us to spend time dedicated to God. See, before we even start our training for ministry, we're required to complete a period of discernment to find out whether we are actually being called to a full-time ministry. And this continues all the way throughout our training, where we're constantly being asked to discern what our next moves are going to be, all the way through to seeking the church that you're being called to lead. It requires us to have a listening heart, where we're asking questions and seeking answers, listening for God's guidance and affirmation through prayer by ourselves and with other people, through reading the scriptures, and through the words of other people, God speaking through other people. It's important to note that having a listening heart is not reserved for people that are looking to seek whether they're being called to a full-time ministry within the Church of Scotland or any other denomination. It's also something that you don't switch on and off for different periods of your life. It should be something that we're striving for daily, because God is always speaking. It's just we sometimes aren't always listening. But I'm aware that there can be barriers for us asking for and using a listening heart. We can all at times have the tendency to think that God speaks to other people, but not us. You know, that's for the prophets and the special people. And while it's true that there are people that have a very specific prophetic gifting, it's certainly not true that God only speaks to other people. See, listening to and hearing from God are not reserved for special people at all. See, we're able to read in the book of James that if any of us lack wisdom, that all we need to do is pray to God, who will give graciously and generously to us all. But you see, as well as believing the lie that God only speaks to other people, there can also be times where there are so many things going on in our lives, we're just not in the right place to be able to speak to or hear from God, where we might be wrestling with a number of different situations or massive decisions that need to be made. We read in Matthew's Gospel, where Jesus tells us that our Father in heaven knows all the things that we need, but that we are to seek the kingdom above everything, and that God will provide everything that we need. Jesus isn't saying that the things that are going on in our life don't matter. They do. But what he's saying is that if we start from a place of worry, worrying about the things that are happening here in an earthly realm, we will never flourish by continuing to dwell on them. Jesus is reminding us that God knows every single one of us, and he knows what our needs are. And he's telling us to take those things to God. We're called to focus on the kingdom, not the world. And I believe the only way to be able to do that is to have a listening heart. And by using that listening heart, we can achieve everything that God has in store for us. Because I feel we need to move past that human urge to try and do the things in our own strength, because we'll ultimately fail. Because if we were to read further on in Solomon's journey, although he's been gifted this amazing wisdom, this amazing listening heart, there are times where even he fails to use it properly. And it leads him into a whole bunch of unfortunate circumstances. So let's not try to walk through our lives on our own. God doesn't want us to do that. Let's use our listening hearts for guidance through the decisions that we have to make. See, there's a third barrier to us asking for and using listening hearts. And that might be that we might be frightened by where God might take us. It might be completely out of our comfort zone. But as we read in our passage this morning, Solomon doesn't ask God to just make his life easy. Doesn't ask him to get rid of his enemies. Doesn't ask for a pain-free life. He asks for the discernment to be able to carry out his job, the role that God has assigned him. And every one of us has a role of some sort. Every one of us has a ministry. And ministry can be a scary word, but all it means is that you're serving God. See, God wants to use me and you to both help others practically and spiritually by bringing them closer to him through a relationship with Jesus. And the good news is that we don't do it alone. You see, as part of my studies, I focused on mission And I came across the theological term, the Missio Dei, which is the Latin term that is translated as the mission of God or the sending of God. And the premise is that the mission is God's and that we have the tremendous privilege of working with him in that mission. All of us. I don't know about you, but that really takes the pressure off me when we know that God walks the path before us and that he has it mapped and that we just have to be listening to him and stepping into it. So our task is that we need to be asking God what he wants to do through us. See, the things that I was speaking of earlier about my period of discernment for ministry, this idea of whether I was being called to one form of ministry or the other, none of this is reserved to seeking an answer to that question. Everyone can and should use the tools that I was talking about when looking to make wise, godly decisions, including those things and people that God is calling you to. So as we go through our own journeys in the coming days, weeks, and months, let us remember the story of Solomon, and that maybe our response to God's question of what can I do for you, may our answers be, give me wisdom, Lord, to know where you want me to go. Give me a listening heart to hear the people that you want me to meet with. Show me what you want to do through me. See, only you and God know what your immediate concerns are in this life. The areas of your life that require the use of a listening heart. It might be for the wisdom to deal with that person at work that's really difficult to get along with. It might be for the wisdom to guide a loved one away from continually making poor decisions with their life, leading them into that light of Jesus. It may well be the wisdom to actually step forward and make that massive decision that you've got to make in your life. But don't allow yourselves to buy into the lie that God only speaks to special people. We're all special people. We're the children of God. Children who share in that kingdom with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He doesn't only speak to prophets, he speaks to all of his children in our dreams, in prayer, through reading the Bible, and through God speaking through other people. You have a listening heart, so don't let it lie dormant. Use that listening heart to hear where God is guiding you. Let's pray.